Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast. Assumptions. We all make them, but too many times our assumptions deceive us rather than help us. That's especially true when it comes to local church ministry. Pastors may come to their churches with a whole collection of assumptions from previous ministries that are completely erroneous. Congregations may have assumptions built up by previous pastors. And we all have assumptions about people that we haven't met or who are very different than we are. We've said it before, every community is in a constant state of flux. So being guided by assumptions is a sure pathway toward ineffective ministry. This week, I continue my interview with Pastor Chip Herrera from the Community Church of Hudson, Iowa, on how to exegete one's community. It's an essential and often overlooked topic. We begin today's segment noting that people often don't know their communities as well as they think. Pull up your heated UNI Panthers Stadium seat, and let's head back to Iowa and my conversation with Chip. You know, you remind me of an encounter that I had with community exegesis. I didn't know to call it that back then, but trying in a church that I served, trying to get them to pay attention to some of the trends that were happening in our town. Mm-hmm. That to me, as somebody completely from the outside moving in, they were glaring. I saw them because right. I didn't have the, you know, there's this commercial that talks about going nose blind. There's this mm-hmm. idea of a blindness. You're just in that community for yeah. so long, you don't see things. And I had a 80-something-year-old gentleman get very frustrated with me as the pastor and got right in my face. Says, I've lived in this community my whole life. I know this community. And I had to lovingly tell him, you don't. You know the people that you love. You know the people that you spend time with. But there are people from other countries that are moving in that you're not paying attention to. It's shifting the culture of the town. And you know, later on, as the years progressed, there were some pretty major shifts that actually caused some panic in town because mm-hmm. people really didn't have it on their radar screen. And there were a few of us, and you know, admittedly, there were those of us that were seeing it were from the outside.
Yeah.
We saw this and we were trying to ring the bell to get people to pay attention so they could adjust their ministry, they could adjust their strategy and begin to reach people that they weren't reaching. But it snuck up on them because they weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
I think it's really important for us as pastors and as church leaders to really have our hand on the pulse of the community where God's planted us. And an awful lot of churches today, I think, are missing that opportunity.
We find it difficult as pastors. It's a challenge to us because we spend time with people who think like us, the great majority. Now, in those conversations, we can hear the underlying truths of our communities.
Sure.
But unless we're intentional about even listening in those, so it's not, and I think we've said it, you and I, while we have come to understand this subject and the need for it, we're not taught this anywhere.
No.
And I think that's sadly a truth. And here's one of the things that I, you know, I'm older, I'm not that old as I've been in ministry a long time, but I think one of the things that is difficult is we assume that our formal education, if we've had it as ministers, mm-hmm. we know there's aspects they didn't teach us, the quote unquote business of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But we assume that they hit it all, the other things, you know, the churchy things.
Yeah.
And depending on how long ago you went through seminary, how far has the culture come or, you know,
yes.
gone through college or gone through any kind of training? And so it is hard work. And I think that's something to be fair to people that this, man, if I haven't been doing it, you've probably been doing it a little more than you think you have.
Mm.
But to put labels on it, it begins to feel a little more pressure.
Yeah. And the other side of it, as you're talking about the challenges, you know, until recently, I've not even heard a lot of people talk about it or a lot of resources. I don't know if there's any books been written about it. There probably have been, but it's not a topic that's right out there where people would be getting those kinds of resources. So shifting gears just a little bit, what kinds of things do you investigate or help your people investigate as you're doing exegesis of your community?
Well, I think as I saw that question, you know, in prep, I was wrestling with that. I think it again happens a little more naturally. Now here's the truth of that. If in ministry, if you move into a new community, if you're newer to your context, you're doing it somewhat naturally because you're trying to figure out, okay, where's the best doctor? Where do people shop? Where do people, you know, you kind of are doing it naturally, mm-hmm. but that's one of the things is what makes the community tick. And that can mean a whole lot of things, but what's the predominant industry? Because each type of industry has they're called stereotypes for a reason. They actually surface the realities on occasion. So what are those wrestling with? I think some of the other things is what do they talk about?
Hmm.
You know, when we get around, when they, if you trip into a coffee shop with the older guys in the community, what are they talking about?
Mm.
And again, you sometimes have to read between the lines and you have to see it, but what's the conversation about? What's the business health in the area? What's it look like for the businesses? Because let's be honest, whether they own the business or they work at the business, that health of the business impacts their life.
Yes. Yes.
And so that gives you some cues. And I think another one is what do people spend their time and whatever extra income they may have doing?
Hmm.
Here Friday nights it's football, you know, it's they go to the football games, but you know, depending on where you're at, that looks very, very different.
Yeah,
you know, we both have spent some time in Minnesota. Time is lakes, you know.
Yes.
If you've got a
yes.
day, you're going to the lake.
Absolutely.
So I think those are some of the things that you have to dig into and look at.
Yeah. Why do you think local churches, and I'm thinking as much about parishioners mm-hmm. as pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think they are not aware of those kinds of things? They're not paying attention to those kinds of things. What do you think's the thing? What's driving that that unawareness?
Well, simply said, I think it's hard. You know, it's hard work to really step back and unassume things. You know, as pastors in communities, I think especially as those of us whose ministry is in the States, and you know, maybe we've even gone to different locations over our ministry, the assumption that America is America kind of makes it easy for us to just say, I get it. I'm from here. I've grown up in America. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not so much. I mean, there's each part of the world, my ministry has stayed mostly with a slight occasion to Oklahoma, but it's mostly stayed East Coast and Eastern part of the States. But it's interesting to me that even in the same general region,
mm-hmm.
you go a couple states over or a few hours away, it's a very different thing. So that's part of it. And I think you hit on something. It's the idea that we just get inoculated to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The longer we're in a place, unless we wrestle to stay aware,
mm-hmm.
we just get inoculated to the change around us. Or we assume, I've not changed, everyone else has changed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that those play hand in hand. I think the other one, and this is just true, is I think we don't think it's important.
Mm.
You know, I think there's a truth to this isn't important. We know the Bible, we're going to preach the Bible, people are going to respond to the scriptures, the Holy Spirit's going to work in people's lives. All true statements. But if you read the scripture, Jesus told stories not because he was a storyteller. He told stories so he could connect with where they were. You know, he told stories of an agricultural bent because he was in an agricultural environment to help prove his point. You know, Jesus is okay. None of us are Jesus. All right. He's the hard example to follow. I get that. Well, Paul in Acts 17, as he's standing among their leaders and the idol to the unknown God. And he's having this whole conversation. In verse 28 of Acts 17, he actually makes the statement, "And one of your own poets." So in the midst of this biblical argument for the God as opposed to the mm-hmm. unknown God, mm-hmm. he is actually quoting their authors. Some commentators say their songs. You know, he's
took the time to know them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's taking their culture and speaking it into what they mean. So all that to say, it's of utmost importance. I joke, I am rural context. I was not born and raised in a rural context. I'm a city kid. I tease my church. I like traffic. I go to the city, Twin Cities. There's traffic and it's like, oh, this is, you know, a combine in the middle of the road is rush hour. So I don't think like them. I'm not naturally inclined to think that way. And they're not naturally inclined to think my way. So it's my job. It's up to me to help. How do I connect who we are to the truths of Scripture? And that some of that comes from trying to understand them and trying to speak into ways that navigate them. It dawned on me not too long ago, when we lived in the Twin Cities, not to keep coming back there, I worked for one of the Fortune 500 companies. Well, it was a cubicle farm. Hmm. You know, you walk on a floor and there's 50 cubicles until you can see even more. And I kept saying when I first got here, you know, when you go to work tomorrow in the cubicle next to you, and it dawned on me like, okay, the majority of my congregation doesn't go somewhere where there's a cubicle next to them. Mm-hmm. There's maybe a field next to them. Maybe they're at their own fabricating machine. You know, there's a whole right. different world. So right. part of that is us helping connect those truths from Scripture that are important for people to understand within their own context.
Jesus told stories to connect with people where they were. He knew them well enough to reach their hearts, and we must do the same. Pastors, we have got to get out of the study, out of the church building, even out of our congregational environments, at least enough to connect with the people we are trying to reach out in the community. We need to go where they go. We need to eat where they eat. We need to hang out where they hang out. We need to be intentional in our conversations, really listening. What are they talking about? How are their businesses and jobs going? What do their families do? Where do they spend their discretionary time and money? Chip is correct when he says that this stuff is not taught in seminaries. Most pastors have to learn this on their own. And many missionaries that I've talked to say that even they have had to learn this either from their agencies or from missionary mentors who are already out there on the field. It's just not in our training manuals. Finally, every community is unique. In fact, some communities are filled with micro-communities, and even these can be drastically different from each other. Have you ever known a town where people on either side of the tracks didn't really know or associate with each other? It's hard, but we've got to unassume many things to effectively relate to and minister to the people God has sent us to love. Next time, Chip and I will talk in more depth about the necessity of doing this community exegesis with the generations that are following us, getting to know their hearts and their needs as well. Would you like more of The Minister's Friend? To gain access to additional articles, webinars, and other resources on the topics that we discuss? Well, we just expanded our ministry, and you now have 3 additional levels of opportunity with us, including the chance to have some one-on-one time with me in the form of pastoral coaching sessions. Check out today's show notes and click on the Become a Patron button at the bottom for more information. Patrons also get a signed copy of my latest book, Disciple Making, Helping Local Churches Understand What Disciples Are and How to Make Them. Again, follow the Become a Patron button for more information. I hope today's episode was helpful. Thank you for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!